Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. Friday, November 20th, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota and Keith. It's basketball season. Basketball has arrived in College Park. We have a full Maryland men's basketball schedule. And in this episode, we will break down the 2020-2021 men's basketball season, preview the team a little bit, talk about the schedule, talk about the variety of factors that are going to play into a very bizarre and weird and wild season that it will be as we try to get towards March Madness. But we have to start with friend of the program, friend of Maryland, friend of Baltimore, all things we care about, Keith. Our guy, Jalen Stick-Smith, goes 10th overall to the Phoenix Suns in the NBA draft on Wednesday night. No one had him projected that high. The highest I saw him was 13 to New Orleans. And throughout this entire process, Jalen, as he always does, surprises everyone, goes 10 to the Suns. A great spot for him. Gets to play with Devin Booker and Chris Paul. And just an amazing emotional reaction from him. We saw the video. Shout out to our guy, Tony Price, on the ones and twos there with the video, capturing that moment for Sticks at his draft party. You saw how much it meant to him. Sticks is a great human being, Keith. You interacted with him more than I did, but I think anyone at Maryland that was ever around him would say that he deserves it. We're so happy for him.
Yeah, just a humble guy, Taylor. And we heard that from Eric Ayala in our interview today, which we'll get to. But no one's more deserving of this than Jalen Smith. The first lottery pick since 2013 for Maryland, another big man, Alex Len, going fifth overall by the Phoenix Suns as well that year. But like you mentioned, not somebody who a lot of people or anybody really had projected going 10th overall. You know, I was seeing late teens, you know, early 20s. And it's interesting in some of Jalen's pre-draft interviews he was doing, you know, he was not really giving away what teams he had been working out for and all that. And maybe some of that was strategic. So a team that did want to get him could lock him down before another team traded up or whatnot to select him in the draft. But incredible. And just it continues this line of Terps that we've seen drafted over these past several years. Bruno Fernando last year, Kevin Herter and Justin Jackson in 2018, Jake Layman and Diamond Stone in 2016, and then, you know, joining Alex Len in that 2013 draft. So a very exciting for Jalen to kind of go in and hopefully be able to make an impact right away in Phoenix, or Fiend Sticks.
Yes.
As you were pumping out on social media last night, got picked up by the Suns. I think they like the sound of that, Taylor. So kudos to you and our former colleague, Marty Suma.
Yes.
Coming up with that one for us.
Thank you to Marty, who also came up with the logo and I think the title for this show. I mean, Marty has played a big part of the Turtle as well. So shout out to him, a fellow Baltimore resident. But yeah, well, interesting twofold for Sticks. The last mock draft that ESPN put out from Jonathan Givnoy, who's one of their main draft analysts, had Sticks, I think, 14th or 13th. And it talked about that he was rising up boards because of the interviews he was giving and what he was showing in the pre-draft process from a makeup perspective. And that will come as no shock to Maryland fans or anyone that was in the Xfinity Center when Sticks was around, as we talked about. Such a humble and good guy, but also a guy that put in the work. I mean, Eric Ayala, our guest on the show, will talk about, there's a little Kyle Tart mention in there, just another success story for Maryland's director of strength and conditioning for men's basketball, sports performance, I believe. It's some flashy title, which Kyle deserves. Just another success story of him transforming somebody's body over the course of a year. He did it with Bruno Fernando, a little bit easier with Bruno, who is a, you know, jacked dude. Did it with Alex Len, as you talked about. He did it with Jake Layman. Just has done it with all these different guys to make them NBA ready. Herter, The list goes on and on. And that you saw that in Sticks, and they showed that on the ESPN right after he got picked. Reese Davis sort of showed that before and after of Sticks. He does go to this Phoenix Suns team that, if you follow the NBA, had an amazing run at the end of the NBA bubble, went undefeated in the bubble, missed the playoffs just barely when they came in as just total afterthought. They just traded for Chris Paul, that everyone knows, the former Wake Forest star who's been a star in the NBA for over a decade, and not a bad guy to catch some lobs from. You go from Anthony Cowan, a good guy throwing lobs, to maybe the best at throwing lobs and passes and putting you in a good position in Chris Paul. And then Devin Booker, who's an incredibly exciting scorer. In terms of Sticks' role, he will be happy.
DeAndre Ayton, too.
Well, that's what I was going to say. DeAndre Ayton is a center, and Sticks does not want to play center. He wants to play power forward and sort of be a stretch four. He had to play center because of Maryland's personnel. It did a great job, protected the rim, and did that to sort of let Dante Scott fill the role of that sort of small ball four. But he wants to play the four, and he will have the opportunity to play the four with DeAndre Ayton established at the five, the number one overall pick from a few years ago. So that
very similar to that dynamic with Bruno Fernando, his freshman season, when they were both playing together. So it's something that obviously Sticks is used to or has done before. So it'll be interesting to see how those two gel together in Phoenix.
And if I was Sticks, the guy I would look at a lot is Serge Ibaka. A guy that developed from a sort of raw shot blocker. I think Sticks comes into the league with a little more skill than Ibaka did with those Thunder teams. But now if you watch him for the Raptors, he stands in the on the three-point line and makes shots, which is what Sticks can do. And he can kind of make shots on the move. I mean, you saw Maryland run Sticks around screens and get him looks, which is, I think, intriguing to NBA executives. But also, if he has got to play the five at a pinch, can also protect the rim. So it's a good spot there for him with Phoenix, sort of an up-and-coming organization. It looks like they're starting to put the pieces together to put themselves in contention for a playoff spot, which would be great for Sticks. Hopefully he makes an impact there. So really happy for him. Just awesome to see all the situations he was projected to could have been good. Brooklyn, who has Durant and Kyrie, Miami is coming off the finals appearance, the Celtics, who have Brad Stevens. It looked like he was always going to, the Nuggets, who just came off of Western Conference Finals. It looked like he was going to go to a good spot, and he ended up in one over in Phoenix. So good for Sticks. The other news that dropped the same day, a couple hours before the draft, was the release of the Big Ten conference schedule. Keith, are you ready for Christmas Day with Maryland basketball? Are you ready for New Year's Eve with Maryland basketball? The Terps will play on both of those holidays. Just going to be a wild Big Ten schedule. No fans in any of these arenas. To the best of our knowledge, I can't imagine, you know, there won't be any Affinity Center. I cannot imagine, as we see what's going on with the virus, that that's going to happen in other places. What pops out to you, Keith, when you look at that schedule for the Terps, who don't now have to go to hostile environments, but also don't get the benefit of their own home crowd?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is this schedule is going to change. I think we all know that. We've all accepted that. We've seen what's happened with other sports, whether it be college or pro or whatever around the country, that there's going to be some flexibility built into this, and games might be canceled. They might be made up. They might be moved around to different locations. But I think first and foremost, you know, what we're looking at now on November 19th, we'll probably be changing. But it is very interesting looking at the single game matchups that Maryland got, only playing Michigan State once, only playing Iowa once, only playing Illinois once, and only playing Indiana one time. Some of those teams that are being picked at the top of the conference this year, Taylor, will only be those single matchups, and then doubling up with a bunch of the other teams from the conference. So very interesting, kind of your typical, you're playing, you know, two at home, two on the road in a lot of respects. And then, you know, ending the season, you know, Maryland will play three out of their last five on the road, which they've had to do before in years past, playing some of those road games. But like you mentioned, no hostile environments for the foreseeable future. So we'll see how much that is a factor in these Big Ten arenas this year.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be, especially for, I look at a team like Rutgers, who is coming in with potentially their best rated team in the history of the school in the preseason. That place is a hard place to play. And now all those teams don't have to go deal with that crowd right on top of them at the rack. I think it's going to hurt the Terps because you don't have to deal with 17,000 people at the Xfinity Center. But it's going to be interesting to see, and this is no disrespect, a team like Penn State, this is not going to affect them for home games. There's nobody at the games anyway. So, I mean, it's not going to affect what they do, but you think about a team like Purdue, you think about a team like Wisconsin, you think about a team like Michigan State that have those Illinois that have awesome home building. A trip to Iowa is tough when you're out. You have to fly all the way to Iowa, and then you go in and Carver Hawkeye Arena is rocking. It's going to be very interesting, and we've seen that. We saw that with Maryland football. That game was easier to play in Happy Valley because there weren't 100,000 people there, and you just can't tell me any differently. I remember watching Ohio State, Penn State the week before the Terps beat the Nittany Lions, and Kirk Herbstreit was just describing, I mentioned this on the podcast last week, Kirk Herbstreit was describing how easy it was for Justin Fields to manage things. Like, he was just at practice because there was no noise. It's going to be the same thing. A guy like Eric Ayala, who's going to kind of run the point here for the Terps, probably, it's going to be easier for him in road arenas to get used to that, because, and he did a lot of that last year, bringing the ball up. But, you know, these younger guys and a Quan Smart, a Marcus Dockery, I mean, it's essentially like walking into an AAU gym. Like, it's not going to be the same. So that's going to be very, very interesting. As you said, you know, the Big Ten games kind of come fast and furious, starting on December 14th with Rutgers. Maryland only plays, looks like, 7 non-conference games. That's right. Beforehand, the only one against the Power Five team is at Clemson in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And like you said, Keith, we will see if that game even happens. We'll see if the Terps even travel down there. Yeah, I mean, you have no, and that's with no knowledge. It's just so fluid. With Maryland football right now, last two games canceled. We hope that not all this goes off with the hitch, but I mean, experience would tell us that that might not be the case, depending on what happens. So the Terps do open November 25th, 2:00, BTN Plus, against Old Dominion, and then they play Navy, Mount St. Mary's, Monmouth, and George Mason over that next week, all on Big Ten Network, all at Xfinity Center. Four of those games are in the middle of the afternoon at 2:00 or 3:00, so make sure to set your dials. There's only one game, that Monmouth game on Tuesday, December 1st. That game is at night. The rest of the games, because of TV, are all in the afternoon, so Big Ten Network can just put as many basketball games on as they can.
A little midday basketball, a little midday matinee.
No, I mean, it's fascinating. Right? I mean, that Christmas Day game is going to be bizarre. I mean, neither you or I are going to be there. We're going to be sitting watching Maryland basketball on Christmas. The Terps did have a New Year's Day game a couple of years ago, bad loss to Nebraska, which we should not talk about, in the just a tough loss. But they will play on New Year's, which is something that women have done a couple times in the last few years, playing that New Year's Eve game. So that's a little bit more acceptable. The Christmas game is going to be just so bizarre. So bizarre with NBA games going on, college basketball games going on, and the like. So that is the Terps schedule. And obviously go to umterps.com to find out about all the coverage if that stuff comes out. There's no TV and times yet set for the Big Ten games. That stuff is just so fluid right now with what's going on. But all those non-conference games at home, besides the LaSalle game on December 22nd, all have the coverage and everything lined up. And make sure to invest in BTN Plus to watch that one game. A guy you're going to be able to watch in all these games play a very prominent role for Maryland, as Keith gives me the point, is Eric Ayala, who will serve as the point guard for the Terps. Now, Ayala really did serve as the main ball handler a lot of the time last year to get Anthony Cowan off the ball at times during the games, but he's going to be the main point guard with a lot of young guys behind him. I'm sure we'll see Daryl Morcell bring it up a little bit as well, but this is really going to be Eric Ayala's team, and just an interesting guy to talk to, Keith, and a guy that we tried to talk to before the Big Ten tournament last year.
Well, we did talk to him.
We talked to him. On that Tuesday, and then the thing got canceled. The lost tapes, Eric Ayala and Taylor Mikesell last year for Hear the Turtle. And crazy that we're now talking to him as the season gets back underway.
Yeah, it was interesting just to get his perspective, his reflections on that, you know, 7-8 months, you know, since that moment. Just listening back to that interview, it was just such a different time. Just, you know, you're so upbeat from, you know, that win and, you know, the momentum they had going into that that Big Ten tournament, and then all of a sudden things came to a hard stop. But still, you know, really encouraging to hear from Eric and the progress he's made, what he's seen, you know, out of his teammates and these young guys, you know, over these past few months of, you know, being able to practice and be together, and just how thankful he is to have these opportunities that, you know, we are well aware of can be taken away at a moment's notice. So great conversation with Eric, as always, very thoughtful guy, and somebody who just has great insight on this team.
Absolutely. Let's kick it to our interview with Eric Ayala. Want to take the Terrapins with you wherever you go? Maryland Athletics has officially launched the One Maryland mobile app, a must-have for all Terps fans. The One Maryland app is a one-stop shop for all things Terps, featuring the latest news, scores, game day information, and exclusive content from your favorite Maryland teams. Download the One Maryland app on your iOS or Android device today by searching for Maryland Athletics in your device's app store. We're back here on Hear the Turtle, and it excites me to say that basketball is back. It brings a smile to my face, and it brings a smile to our guest, Eric Ayala. EA, thanks for coming on the show. First of all, what's bizarre about this is we're really coming full circle. The last time we talked to you, no one ever heard it because it was the week that the Big Ten tournament was canceled. You guys had just won the Big Ten championship that Sunday. I think we had you on like a Tuesday or Wednesday before you were about to head out, and then everything was shut down. From then to now, how excited are you to jump back on the court with the way that stuff ended last year?
It's just been a blessing, you know, just everything, how, you know, it ended last year and, you know, having that time away from the team and, you know, just basketball in general. We've been able to work and, you know, be around each other and, you know, just kind of taking every day, you know, one day at a time, you know. Like I said, it was very unfortunate last year, just having the season taken away from us. So even now, you know, you kind of just never know what's going to happen. So I think, you know, everybody is just, you know, happy to, you know, take it one day at a time and just happy to be here.
Yeah, how grateful are you to just be back practicing with everything going on the last few months? Yeah. You guys have been back in the gym and now you have games starting on November 25th. Just how you sort of touched on it there, but just to be back with the guys and sort of in that regular flow after being in quarantine and then not knowing if you're going to play starting in October or November or whatever.
Crazy. This week, you know, we've been kind of picking it up. You know, I think a lot of guys are excited. You know, our game is a few days away and, you know, we kind of just been around each other all the time. You know, we kind of formed our own little bubble, I guess you can say. And, you know, it's exciting, you know, just being here and, you know, kind of throughout the summer, we kind of had to be apart. And then, you know, we had to build up, you know, we started off just one player to a basket. And just, you know, through all the, you know, corona, you know, like, how would you say, like progress, you know, the progress that we kind of went through from going from one basket to now we playing 5-on-5 and competing, you know, it's been special.
Eric, how would you describe the motivation for this season coming off of last year? And you can kind of take it a couple different ways. Just the fact, you know, there's no fans, there's no crowd. It won't be the typical atmosphere. And then just trying to build off what you guys and what you were able to do last year and accomplish winning that Big Ten title.
Just staying prepared. We got a lot of new guys this year. And, you know, they've all grown tremendously, like, you know, from their first day with us. And, I think it's going to be a different team than the ones we've had in the past. You know, we got a deep, talented team, you know, from the first man to the last man. You know, everybody is capable of, you know, contributing to the team. And it's just fun, you know, each day getting more chemistry with the guys, you know, just playing with each other. And, you know, everybody getting more comfortable with each other. You know, like I said, it's a lot of new guys. So, you know, us being around each other more is helping us on the court.
Yeah, expand on that a little bit. Obviously, so much of what last year was built around was Anthony and Sticks and what they did, and then you guys sort of filling in the gaps there. And now you and Aaron and Daryl kind of become those leaders, and then the guys kind of fill in behind you, especially all the new guys you're implementing. So how has it been kind of since you guys had that first practice, making that chemistry and sort of a, as you said, weird circumstances at times where you're just shooting by yourselves and then you're building kind of towards the season?
Like, it was hard in the beginning, kind of like getting a feel for each other's game. You know, we couldn't play pickup, you know, kind of like we usually do, you know, during the preseason and stuff. And, you know, I think now we've been able to practice and play with each other. So everybody's getting familiar with like the playing style of each person. So I think it's helping us just be able to understand, you know, everybody, you know, where certain people like the ball at. And, you know, it's going to be a team effort. You know, I think everybody is buying into, you know, playing as a team. And, you know, I think Coach Turgeon is, you know, putting us in position to be successful this year.
Eric, you came in and had Anthony Cowan there as the point guard to kind of show you the way, give you those tips and tricks and ways to handle the rigors of a college basketball season. How have you tried to impart that wisdom onto these young guys, you know, Aquan Smart and Marcus Dockery?
Just telling them to take it one day at a time. You know, it's a progress. You know, things not going to happen for you overnight. Same thing kind of Anthony, you know, kind of, you know, helped me, you know, with as I was, you know, playing with him and stuff. Just, you know, take it one day at a time, enjoy it. You know, this time is precious, you know, being in college, you know, it should be a special moment for you. And just take everything that you're given, you know, take the coaching, take all the resources you have, just use everything that, you know, Maryland, you know, provides for us. And it's especially watching them grow, you know, from their first day. And I'm looking forward to seeing them, you know, put it all together and help us win games.
Talk about both those guys' games on the floor a little bit, sort of how they play and how you see them contributing. Because at this point, Maryland fans really haven't seen them at all. So you've got the most inside look. So give us the scoop on both those guys.
So we can start with Quan. Quan, very athletic. You know, that's kind of the first thing that jumps out to you is the athleticism. He can move laterally, you know, vertically. You know, it's special to watch him play. The way he plays on the defensive end, you know, he brings a certain energy to the game. You know, Marcus, you know, he could score, he could, you know, shoot. And they kind of play off each other. You know, they kind of feed off each other. You know, when they playing together, they, you know, they, what the one, what one doesn't have, the other one has, or, you know, they just kind of play off of each other. And I would say it's going to be surprising. You know, I just can't wait for people to see it because, you know, they're still surprising me every day. You know, I still see something new from them every day, you know, that I haven't seen from them yet. And I'm just looking forward to seeing the final product of how they, you know, turn things out.
And Eric, Maryland fans are 8 months removed from seeing you play, you know, in a meaningful game or anything. What do you feel like you've made the biggest strides and the biggest jumps in your game just over this past, past 8 month period?
Just being more, you know, active on the defensive end, you know, trying to play hard for, you know, extended amount of time, you know, I would say, you know, offensively just mixing my game up, you know, not just shooting threes and, you know, trying to get in mid range and, you know, get to the rim. And I would say just make sure everything, you know, I think I feel like I could always get better. You know, it's not one area in my game where I just feel like I'm complete at. And, you know, I think every day just working on something to just help me to, you know, get ready to help us win games.
Eric, I feel like one of the interesting parts about the quarantine, and it's really been not just for you guys as athletes, but all of us as people, has been the sort of the time to reflect on yourself because we've just all kind of been cooped up thinking about things. For you personally, where do you feel like you've grown in that sense? You know, you're going into a big junior season, you're becoming a leader, you have a little bit more pressure. What do you think you've learned about yourself in the months you've had to kind of reflect on what was sort of a disappointing end of last season despite all of the things you guys accomplished?
Just be grateful for what you have and, you know, not take things for granted. You know, it's kind of been the biggest lesson for me. You know, you never know what people are going through, you know, through these times. You know, the pandemic has hit a lot of people differently in many different ways. You know, some people have lost family members and some people, you know, without jobs and stuff. And I think, you know, even for us, just not having basketball, you know, that's very meaningful to us. And just be blessed with every day that you get, you know, every opportunity that you get. Just take full advantage of everything. I feel like, you know, I'm looking forward to our game Wednesday, but I'm blessed to have practice today. You know, I enjoyed myself at practice today. You know, if today was our last practice, you know, I'd be proud that I played hard and, you know, I gave it my all. So that's kind of been the biggest lesson for me, you know, throughout this whole, you know, pandemic stuff.
Eric, I believe you're the first player we've had on since you guys received your Big Ten championship rings last month. Let's get your initial reaction when you opened that case. You saw that thing. What were that you feeling? Thing, what were you thinking?
Just the red. I mean, the red popped out immediately. Red, my favorite color. Red. We wear our red jerseys. That's my favorite jersey. So as soon as I seen the red, you know, I just couldn't wait to put it on. And then the gold. Yeah, it got our names on there. It was pretty big too. You know, I wasn't expecting it to be that big. And I think we all enjoyed that moment. It kind of gave us closure, you know, being so we didn't be able to, we wasn't able to go to March Madness and stuff and, you know, finish that out, you know, having that ring ceremony. It just kind of like, you know, bring everything together.
Yeah, obviously you're on to this year, but when we talked to you the last time, you were able to kind of reflect on what had just happened that Sunday. You know, championship cutting down the part of the net. Now you have that ring.
Yeah.
When you think about that season last year, what memories come back to mind at this point, kind of removed from it a little bit?
I mean, I don't see it's that the Big Ten championship, you know, winning that game. It was kind of like, you know, all or nothing at that point. You know, we had lost three of our last four games or something like that. We could have won it solely, I think, four games prior to our last one. And, you know, that last game, it's like, all right, you know, we'll win this. We're not winning it. So, you know, just, you know, the build up to that game and the championship game, and then just the whole season, you know, how the whole season turned out, you know, the way we played and just how everything in that last game just kind of like came together. You know, I think we played to our full potential, you know, how everybody thought, you know, that we could make a deep run in the tournament. You know, I think we kind of showed, you know, what we could do in that last game.
Eric, depending on when we air this, your teammate Jalen Smith will likely be drafted in the NBA draft by an NBA franchise. What will it mean to you to see Sticks get his name called and just see that dream get fulfilled from a guy that you were obviously close with?
He deserves it, man. He's one of the most humblest people I've ever been around. You know, he doesn't let none of this stuff get to his head. You know, I love him because, you know, he'll talk to anybody. You know, it's not just, you know, it don't matter who you are. You know, he's a real nice person. And that's the first thing that sticks out to me, you know, and it stuck out to me when we got here. You know, he's real down to earth. And, you know, people like that, you know, deserve good things. So, you know, I'm just going to be happy for him. And, you know, we'd be playing like PlayStation and stuff like that. And, you know, you would never know he about to get drafted in a few days. You know, it's just the way he is, his character. You know, I appreciate it from him.
Eric, we've got to touch on some stuff we talked to you about last time because no one will ever hear it. So we now have to go back through some ground here. Right. We talked to you last time about the best dunker on the team. Now, this is now a new team.
Yeah.
So who at this point has emerged as the best dunker on this team now heading into the season?
I think Aaron has – it's between Aaron and Dante, I could say. Aquan creeping up there behind those two. Aquan got some bounce. But as far as like tricks, I'm going with Aaron or Dante. You know, Aaron would do something like just because he scored a ball, you know, he'd dunk it, but like if he's feeling it, he'll really do something that'd be like, wow, okay, I didn't know you could do that. And then Dante, you'd just see Dante just flying around the gym. You know, we'd just be shooting around, and Dante just come out of nowhere and just do something crazy.
Do you have another big in-game one in you, like Notre Dame? You said you wanted to improve your in-game bounce. Do you feel like it's even better this year?
I'm an in-game dunker, you know. I don't, in practice, if I got a fast break, I might lay it up or something like that. But, you know, in the game, I get that adrenaline going. You know, I put it down. So, you know, I guess we just have to wait till the game starts for me.
Eric, last time we talked to you, you said Aaron Wiggins was the cleanest in your apartment. You know, he's the one who kind of kept the apartment together. Are you guys still roommates this year, and is that still true?
Aaron moved out on me, man. He went.
He
moved right next door. He only right next door, though. Him, Daryl, Chol, and Reese. I got a couple new guys. Well, I got all new guys this year. Aiden McCool, Aquan, Smart, and Jarris Hamilton.
You're showing them the way a little bit. You're showing them the way.
Yeah. We right next door though. Like we right next door. I be going in their room all the time, messing with them. Aiden mom has, you know, done a great job with our room. I'll say that.
Wow. Shout out to Mrs. McCool. How about that?
Shout out to Mrs. McCool. She done came into our room and, you know, she hooked us up. So shout out to Mrs. McCool.
Are you guys all in like one floor? Are you guys all just hopping to each other's rooms at this point? Because there's no one else on campus. Like, there's just nobody
exactly
there.
Yeah, it's really nobody there. Even when we at the apartments, you know, we try to, you know, just still be around each other, but just being mindful of what we're doing. And, you know, with the COVID restrictions and everything, you know, it's crazy. You know, it's been recently spiking. So, you know, with us, you know, we just want to make sure we're doing the right thing. You know, if that's us staying in our room, then, you know, that's what we have to do.
Yeah, I think many people should listen to that advice you just gave right there, Eric. Now, we talked about your tattoos last time you were on the show, and maybe during the pandemic, tough to get a new one, but any new ones since March, or have you kept it clean?
Nah, I mean, I haven't got any new ones. I just been, I'm going to get to it. I've been meaning to get to it. I'm going to get some soon, though. I haven't got any new ones, though.
Do you know what's in the works here?
I got some few spots on my arm that I already got that I just want to fill in. With my tattoos, you know, they kind of, like, got meaning to me. So I wouldn't want to just get one just for no reason, like, just to get a tattoo. So whenever something, like, really meaningful come to mind, then, you know, I might do it. But, you know, those things is forever. So I would want it to really mean the most to me if I got another tattoo.
Eric, last time you were on the show, we talked to you about how much your hometown means to you, Wilmington, Delaware, yeah. And growing up there and now, mm-hmm. you know, playing pretty close here in College Park. Yeah. What does it mean for you to have been able to maybe spend a little time at home during a time where you would normally be in College Park a lot and talk to us once again, sort of just about representing that area that you come from?
It's special to me. Shout out to Joe Byer. Joe Byer's from Delaware.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
repping the state.
He did his thing on, you know, like 5 minutes from my house. And I was here in College Park, though. But, you know, where he kind of did his, like his presentation and stuff like that, you know, spoke to everybody. It was like right down the street from my house. And, you know, just having people like that. And then, you know, me playing basketball, you know, it's special to a small place. You know, Wilmington is real small. You know, not many people know where Wilmington is. And, you know, I just try to be the best me I can be because I never know who's watching me, whether it's in Delaware or whoever, you know. So I know I represent a lot of people in a certain way. So, you know, just trying to do the best that I can.
Well, now at some point, once we can have fans back, we've got to get President-elect Biden to a game in College Park. I mean, it's not that far away, 10-minute drive, yeah. A couple Delaware guys.
I told my mom, I said, Mom, me and him going to have a meeting or something. We're from the same place. You know, we're doing some pretty decent things in the world. You know, we got to, obviously, he's the president. I'm playing basketball, two different things.
We're
from the same place. We got to get the, yeah. Yeah,
Joe, if you're listening, you know, get down to a game. Come hang out with Eric Ayala.
Yeah, I'm we're gonna try to make that happen. I know he only down the street, D.C. He get moved in down there, so we're gonna try to get that going.
Well, here's the thing that you got to do: you win the national championship, okay. then you get the White House visit. So that should give you even more motivation. I mean, hopefully we can get that done anyway and get him to College Park. But there you go. I mean, that makes sense.
Yo, that's gonna be crazy. Yeah, we're gonna make that happen.
That's how you mm-hmm. seal it up. That's interesting though. Obviously, you know, the presidential election, all this news and things going on, I'd have to imagine as a person from Delaware, a small state that, you know, forgotten about, if we're being honest, in the rest of the country, to have him do that had to have been pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, you know, the president of the United States is from where I'm from. And I think that bring a lot of attention, you know, to, you know, a lot of different elements of the city and the state. You know, it's a lot of talent, you know, a lot of different things, you know, people got going on down there. So, you know, it's just one more person, you know, to help shine a bigger light, you know, in a smaller city. So,
Eric, we'll get you out of here on a few rapid fire questions. First of all, we talked about your tats. What's your favorite tat that you have?
My favorite tat, I got a tattoo on my upper arm. It's two tigers. It's kind of represent like, you know, it's a mom tiger and a baby cub, represent like my mom and me. You know, my mom kind of always been my protector, you know, and then my tattoo, you kind of see like the mom, you know, looking over the little baby cub, you know, as if somebody, you know, come mess with that, it's going to be a problem.
Eric, I want to know the show you're watching right now or your favorite show you watched over the quarantine.
I'm waiting for... Well, it has been a couple of shows in our quarantine. I liked it. Ozarks. Ozarks was a good one. I'm waiting for Blacklist to re-air. And then Power. You know, Power kind of stopped airing. But I do need a new show, though, because I haven't had one in the recent weeks. You know, I've been looking for watch.
We've had a... Go ahead, Keith.
No, I think last time, I think you recommended Love is Blind.
Love is Blind, yeah. Yep, Love is Blind.
Oh, yeah.
Designated Survivor. I watched Designated Survivor, too.
I've heard very good things about Designated Survivor.
Yeah, I watched that, too. That's a good one. I liked it, that one.
That's right. I did recommend Love is Blind. That was in, like, the fervor of Love is Blind, and then everyone watched it in quarantine.
Yeah. It was also a show with The Rock, Ballers. The Rock got his.
The HBO show.
Yeah, I watched that too. Yeah,
I'm trying to think to give you ones what we've had people say on the show. We've had people say a lot of Money Heist has been thrown around on this. I got into it. I got to finish it.
I didn't really finish it. I started like the first season, but I'm gonna look back into it.
Okay, that's one I can remember off the top of my head that we've talked about. The artist you're currently listening to right now, Eric.
I got a real diverse playlist right now. I actually just got a new phone recently, so all my music had deleted. So right now I'm just scrambling, trying to, you know, find some consistency in my music. So it's a lot of people right now. Lil Baby. It's a lot of people right now that I'm listening to.
So are you a download your music guy? You don't use like a Spotify or a Apple Music?
I use it's called like My Mixtapes. It's like a smaller version of Spotify. You could freely download the music though.
Okay. You know, it's a pretty good deal. Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Eric, when we asked you this question last time, there was no hesitation in your answer. So yeah. I'm interested to see if we get the same one out of you. We asked this to everybody. Your favorite place to eat in College Park?
I'm Chipotle. I said Chipotle last time. It was
Chipotle.
It's been Chipotle, yeah. I've been messing with Looney's a little bit, you know, when I get some spare time with Looney's. Still got to watch what I eat from there. You know, you can't just be eating anything. But
We won't show this to Kyle Tarp. We won't.
Yeah. Oh, Kyle right here. He just walked out in the gym too. He right here.
But what's the Chipotle order?
Brown rice, double chicken, queso, cheese, guac. And
is this a burrito or a bowl?
I switch it up. Depend if I've been doing real good with my diet, like real good, and we got like an off there, so I might grab a burrito.
That's a stacked burrito with the queso and the cheese and the guac. I mean, that is
it's rare that I grab a burrito, but I do it like every once in a while. But usually,
gotta watch out for that sour cream though. Sour cream can
That's the one. That's the one. I'm telling you. That is the one. It's Eric, so essential, but you gotta watch it.
Staying consistent with the Chipotle answer, as you say, consistent on the floor. It is great to talk to EA. Thanks for jumping on with us. Great to have basketball back, and can't wait to see what you guys do this season. Stay safe out there, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. Thanks to Eric Ayala for jumping on with us post-practice at the Xfinity Center. Awesome stuff from him, and I'm sure we'll chat with him again as we go through the season. That dude has a ton to say. Very insightful guy is Eric Ayala. I think I could just talk to him all day, just about different things. He's got a take on everything. So shout out to him. Let's jump right into it, Keith. Let's preview this season a little bit, break this team down. Terps, obviously the Big Ten championship last season, a season cut short. Who knows what would have been. They lose Anthony Cowan and Stick Smith, the two bona fide stars of the team. Anthony Cowan, the leader, the point guard, you know, we've heard everything about him. Stick Smith, the 10th pick in the draft. That's a lot of talent to lose. However, Maryland does bring back a lot of guys and a lot of guys that played key roles. I mean, you think Aaron Wiggins, Daryl Morcel, Eric Ayala, Dante Scott were on the floor for all of Maryland's biggest games and in very, very key roles. So it's not as if the Terps were depleted from a team. They just lost their two best guys. So let's get in. I'm going to have three keys to this season, Keith, or three things to look for. You're going to have three things to look for. And I'm going to start with that real fact. Can these guys take the next step? Your Aaron Wiggins, your Daryl Morcel, your Eric Ayala. Wiggins, the only one that averaged over 10 points a game last year. And he is the one I think that everyone expects that leap from. You know, when you watch Aaron Wiggins play, he looks like an NBA player. He has the athleticism, he has the length, he has the size, he has the shooting stroke. He can create a little bit off the dribble. That probably needs to improve. But he has the look of a guy that an NBA team would look at and say, you're a 3-and-D guy. You can stand in the corner. You can do a bunch of different things for us. And he could play in the NBA for a long time. But he's now got to show it with the productivity on the court. And now he is going to have the green light to shoot a lot. I mean, if he's not averaging in the you know, 15 to 16 point range, I think, this year, I think Maryland's a little bit in trouble. So he's going to have to score. Eric Ayala, as we talked about, is going to have to assume the role as the main distributing point guard. We've seen Eric have good vision in the past. He's shifty, he's crafty, and he's got to get that shooting stroke more consistent. We saw him go ups and downs. I remember that clip at Illinois where DeAndre Haynes in the locker room shouted Eric out for continuing to work on his shooting and getting it back to where it needed to be. He works with Matt Brady all the time on that. He's got to shoot well from the get-go here. And then Daryl Morsell is going to have to just bring a little bit more of all the things he already brings. A little bit more scoring, a little bit more rebounding from the wing position, and that lockdown on-ball defense. He is going to be the no question lockdown guy of the other team's best perimeter player. He's got to show that. So those are the three guys. And then Dante Scott behind them is going to just, again, have to take that next step. We loved a lot of the things we saw from Dante. I mean, I really like the way he plays. I like the way he sees the game. It's just a question of, can he step into a bigger role? So that's really my thinking. I don't know if you see anybody else on this roster besides those four guys that have to take that big step. Obviously they're going to need people, freshmen coming in, you know, Hamilton, Galen Smith, but specifically those four guys coming from prominent roles have to just assume more of the responsibility.
No, I think you're dead on. Obviously, we'll get into some of the other guys, but Taylor, 44% of Maryland's scoring came from Anthony Cowan and Jalen Smith last season. Both averaging over 15 points a game. So, you know, Mark Turgeon's got some options waiting for the wings. And it's interesting on the Aaron Wiggins point, when he was asked about Aaron Wiggins in his preseason media day press conference, you know, he said, you know, Aaron knows it and he's excited for it. He's ready for that challenge. I think he's going to have all the opportunities that he needs or that he wants this season to be that guy and to be that scorer. Taylor, I'll switch over here to my first thing to watch for the Maryland basketball team in 2020-2021, and that is, will we see an improved three-point shooting team? Maryland shot 31.1% from deep last season. That was 287th in the country. And, you know, maybe that little bit of an Achilles heel that Maryland fans kind of knew was in the background, and some games are better than others, but, you know, they really were not a very consistent three-point shooting team throughout the course of the season. So Aaron Wiggins, Eric Ayala, Hakeem Hart, Dante Scott, in addition to this crop of newcomers, they're all going to be counted on to try and get that percentage up this season. I mean, if Maryland can uptick that percentage, you know, get into that 36-37% from three this season, whether that's with shot selection, taking better shots, just getting some more to fall, that's going to help in some of these close games in the Big Ten when you're trying to get that separation from opposing teams and you know, a couple late threes or a couple rhythm threes together in a bunch can create that separation to put games away. You lose Anthony Cowan and Jalen Smith, two of your most efficient three-point shooters. Who's going to kind of step into that role and take the crown?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just looking at the guy's three-point field goal percentage last year, Anthony Cowan actually ended up at 32%. And that was because he really slumped in the last four or five games last year. After that Michigan State win, he did not shoot the ball well from the field. And it looked like he was getting tired. And that storyline just never got fleshed out because the season just ended. But he was going to actually need to improve his shooting if the Terps went to the NCAA tournament and we're going to have success. Wiggins shot 37%. I think he can stay around there and be pretty successful. I think if he can get to 40, he's got a chance to, you know, be an NBA first round pick. But as you said, a guy like Eric Ayala has got to shoot a little bit better. 27% is not going to get it done. Hakeem Hart, who came in with a reputation as a decent shooter, he's got to shoot it better than 14% in limited opportunities. And as you said, Jalen Smith ended up being one of their most efficient three-point shooters. So
just a fact check here, Taylor. I think you said 31 or 37% for Aaron Wiggins. Those 31 from three.
Oh, true. Sorry, I'm looking at his field. See, listen, I can't read stats, Keith. This is
why
your
stat guy is here. Okay, I got your back.
Well, I have you. Well, then he's got to shoot a lot better than 31%. I think we could say that to Aaron's face, and he would say he's got to be up around, honestly, 36 or 37% based on the shooting stroke he has, and I think his ability as a shooter. Mark Turgeon said that in his press conference today. He said he's got to be better from the three-point arc because he has all that potential. So that would be huge. If he can shoot 6 or 7 percentage points higher, that's going to be big for the Terps. I think that's a really good point, Keith. This Maryland team's going to have to, they don't have a creator like Cowan to get in the lane and get to the free throw line. They just don't have that guy unless somebody emerges as it. They're going to have to shoot better from the outside to be successful. My second key, and we touched on a little bit with the schedule, is expect the unexpected. You're going to have to be able to really roll with the punches in a season like this. I mean, if this season goes off without a hitch for Maryland, it will be a miracle. Just based on what we've seen for all these teams and all these different sports that have not been in a bubble. We've seen these bubbles go off pretty well, but when you're outside that bubble, I mean, we've seen it locally, Maryland football, we saw it with the Ravens. I mean, maybe you'll get in every game as scheduled, but you may be missing players. The other team may be down personnel and they have the game canceled as a result of that. So you don't have a game. So you've got to stay mentally locked into the next one. There's just going to be a lot of things going on. I actually think before their last few games got canceled, Maryland football was doing a very good job of staying mentally locked in despite a lot of the stuff that was going on. And unfortunately, the pandemic does not give you credit for being aware of it. It just strikes on you. And that is what happened to Maryland football. But that's what the basketball team's going to have to do. And it's going to be up to their leaders and up to Mark Turgeon to kind of keep your nerve throughout the year, keep everyone locked in, especially as campus just disperses. I mean, they're sending everyone out of there. So it's going to be pretty much these dudes and not a lot of other people around that town. It's going to be weird. I mean, these guys do get helped, admittedly. They say it. The crowd helps them. You know, all the things that go into a normal game day help them stay locked in. Travel will be different. All of these different things are going to be different. And I think especially that crowd, Maryland at times has issues bringing its own energy when Xfinity Center is not rolling. They're going to have to bring it every single time this year because you have no one in the stands. So got to deal with the unexpected well if you're going to have success in a season like this.
No doubt about it. And that kind of builds into my second thing to watch for this season, Taylor. And that's, can the Terps gel together before Big Ten play? The season starts on November 25th. Terps have their first Big Ten game against Rutgers on December 14th. Little quick math here for you, Taylor. That's 18 days to get ready for your first conference game, which is not the norm in a normal season. You know, a six-game non-conference stretch before that Rutgers game. They will play LaSalle to get to seven. But six games, you know, Mark Turgeon and staff, they have their work cut out for them to – you know, find that winning combination, find that chemistry, find out what lineups work best and how they gel together. And they have a very short window to figure that out before, hey, the games are going to start mattering a lot more. You know, once you're into your Big Ten slate. So a short abbreviated non-conference schedule, how well can this new team, which is more new guys than returners, you know, there's the new players outweigh the returning players in terms of just the overall roster. So that is my big number two thing to watch for the season.
Yeah, I think that's so true, Keith. I mean, normally you have so much more time to kind of work yourself into conference play. And let's just be frank about it. The quality of opposition for the Terps heading into Big Ten play is not awesome. Now I'll say that now a Navy or an Old Dominion will come in and upset the Terps, but you don't have the ability to schedule bigger out of conference games because preseason tournaments have gotten canceled. You're not going to start a big home and home if you can't have a team, if you're going to bring a team here and not be able to play them. The Terps didn't get a great opponent in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I mean, Clemson is a decent program, a little up and down, but they didn't get a high end program. I think Mark Turgeon, at least if I was Mark Turgeon, I would have loved to have gotten, even if I'm going to lose that ACC Big Ten Challenge game, I would have gotten, would have loved to have had someone in the top half of the league just to see where I am before that Rutgers game on December 14th. They do not get that. So as you said, Keith, they've got to really come out and come out and fire. You know, there's not going to be, even they don't get the exhibition games to get those feet wet initially. You just don't get all those things. So you got to come out and be prepared. My third thing, it's one word, it's one man, it's Shoal Mariel.
Two words, Taylor.
Oh, I meant to just say Shoal. Yeah, that's true. That's fair. Two words. Regardless, the big man, the biggest man on the floor, he's going to be the biggest man on the floor all year. What can he bring to the table here? I mean, we saw a little bit of it last year at times, but he just didn't look in shape. He didn't look totally healthy, which is fair. Guy hadn't barely played any basketball in about 2 years. But as a sophomore freshman in high school, he was expected to potentially be a top 10 prospect. The tools are there. We've seen the shooting stroke in practice, Keith. We've seen it in warmups. We've seen the shot blocking ability. We've seen his ability to just stick his hand up and put the ball in the hoop because he's so freaking tall. What does he bring to the table this year at a time where Maryland needs guys on the interior? He is if you go below the surface, I think he's one of the most fascinating guys in the country in college basketball because of how tantalizing his potential is and how he could potentially elevate a Maryland team that has a lot of solid guys on, but no yet established star like Styx and Anthony Cowan. If you can have a guy like Shoal figure it out, you're a totally different team. I mean, you really, really are. If he can pair with a guy like Galen Smith, who's just solid and knows what he's doing and has a lot of experience. So I'm fascinated to watch Shoal. I really, one of the more fascinating Maryland players in the past two decades, I think, in terms of what, and he has a giant ceiling and he's got a low floor. I mean, it is going to be a very interesting thing. He's such a good kid and everyone loves him. It would be awesome to see him have success. So I'm just fascinated to see what he brings. And we've heard good things from practice so far, but you just don't know until you get to the games.
We only saw him in 13 games last season for about 5 minutes a game. So another year to get stronger, to get in shape, recover from that surgery he had before the start of last season. I imagine we're going to see him for longer stretches in this year ahead. And this just builds right into my number three thing to watch for the season, Taylor. And that's, can Maryland's front court be productive on both ends of the court? And obviously, I think starts with Shoal Merriel. And one thing I kind of keyed on, the little glimpses I've seen of practices, Shoal's going to get fouled a lot if he's in the game.
Yes.
It's just going to be a natural thing that's going to occur when he has smaller opposition that is not able to get to the balls that he can get to. Can he make free throws? He took two free throws last season, in all of last season, and I think that number is going to go up. Can he consistently make that and shoot at a high percentage?
He's also got to not foul. That's the other thing. It's on the other end too. He's got to keep himself out of foul trouble.
Taylor, that's both ends of the court.
Yeah, he's got to keep himself out of foul trouble. He's got to be just more fundamentally sound in terms of how he defends and elevates and gets in the air. Verticality, if everyone remembers that from Roy Hibbert 7 years ago, he's got to establish some verticality. He should have learned, and hopefully he learned last year from banging down low with Stick Smith for an entire year. That will help him watching how Sticks developed as a defender. That will be interesting. So he's got to not foul, Keith.
And, you know, the X factor we haven't talked about is Jarius Hamilton, Taylor, guy who's played high level college basketball at Boston College, averaged about 9 points a game there, and paired with Galen Smith. I think, you know, just talking to Maryland's current team now, the guys have been really impressed with just his work ethic and just his ability coming in as a guy who's played college basketball for 3 years. He knows his way around, you know, a tough conference like the SEC. You know, he's going to be well adjusted to compete and play in the Big Ten. So, you know, those three will be very interesting to watch, along with Dante Scott, of, you know, can they keep up that defensive intensity for 40 minutes to create turnovers, to block shots, to really smother teams and limit them, you know, around the paint and out on the glass. If they can do it, if they can put it together night after night, I think we're going to see a successful Maryland team this season.
Yeah, I've heard some good things about Galen Smith coming out of practice in terms of how he's developed, what he's brought to the interior. He was a needed pickup for Mark Turgeon in terms of the interior. As you said, Dante Scott will do some of that. Jarius Hamilton, awesome that he is eligible. A guy that, you know, played well at Boston College against some good teams in the ACC. Obviously, Maryland fans all know those ACC powers, and he had good games against some of those teams. And those guys are going to have to be productive. I think it's worth touching on a couple of the other newcomers that are going to play a little bit of a role. Quan Smart and Marcus Acker are going to play minutes. It sounds like Smart is going to potentially play more to start the year just based on his more point guard skills as a backup, whereas Marcus is a little bit more of a combo guard. So he's kind of behind multiple guys. He's behind Morsell. He's behind Ayala. He's behind Wiggins. So he just has a little bit less of a road to playing time. But I think Smart's a guy that you need a backup point guard. He is a point guard. So he comes in. He is impressive. And you heard Eric Ayala talk about it. He's impressed with his athleticism. Really, really good athlete. And Dockery apparently, and like I said, we just have not seen these guys play. Dockery's apparently been able to score, and they kind of complement each other well and have become very good friends to start, which is very cool. And then, as you said, Jarius Hamilton and Galen Smith are going to have to provide that depth on the interior. Arno Rivas is also obviously there. He's a little bit more of a developmental prospect. I'll be interested to see what kind of minutes he gets. And then we have all the new walk-ons. So they will not really factor in. We also have to say, and I've heard, Reese Mona has played very well in practice. So our guy Reese is going to get some minutes.
Taylor, you want to hear a prediction? Reese Mona is going to be on this podcast before it's all said and done.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt he's going to be on this show. We love that guy.
I'm just glad we're on the same page there.
Oh, yeah. And Reese, I think, is going to play a little bit, especially to start the year when Turge is trying to kind of ingratiate these new guards. We've seen Reese be able to go out and play competent minutes. Reese could have gone to a lot of schools and played a lot of basketball, but he's a Maryland guy and came to Maryland. And now on scholarship, I think he's going to get some minutes and play. So hopefully he's productive when he gets those. So that's kind of our preview, Keith. Interesting team. I mean, a really interesting team that does not obviously have the hype and the star power of a team that was projected to be a Final Four team potentially last year, but has a lot of talented pieces and could really grow throughout the year. And I think as a team, fans always love the teams that come in with hype and are great. They love more when a team comes in with a little chip on its shoulder and outdoes. I think of that Des Wells, Melo Trimble team from 14-15 that kind of built into that 15-16 hype train. That team was so fun because no one thought they were going to do anything for the most part. Let's be honest, nationally, no one thinks this team is going to do anything. So it's going to be fun to watch Maryland usurp those expectations. I think they will. I think guys like Ayala, Wiggins, and Morsell aren't going to let them slide. So it'll be fun to watch.
I just can't wait to hear that horn on November 25th, that whistle, that ball get tipped up in the air and just see basketball being played at the Xfinity Center. Never have we seen it like this before, but the sounds of squeaking sneakers and basketball being played, ball on the hardwood. I'm looking forward to it.
You summed it up very well. Couldn't said it better myself. November 25th, watch the game. A delightful matchup with Old Dominion at 2:00 on BTN Plus. And the basketball season will be underway. That's enough for this week's episode of Hear the Turtle. We will have a women's basketball preview as well coming up next week and talk about their new look roster. Make sure to go back to listen to some of our episodes. Our interview with Nick Cross, I thought was a good one. Kind of got lost in the sauce with the game getting canceled there against Ohio State, but we had a great conversation with Nick. If you want to really get in the mood for basketball, all of our Record Breaker series episodes still relevant and ready to listen to. Go back and listen to all of those. And there's some Stick Smith stuff in the archives there if you want to hear our conversations with the newest Phoenix Sun back in the Hear the Turtle archives. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram. Download the One Maryland app, iOS, Android. Get it done for Keith. Follow Keith Snedden at Snedden311. You can follow me at TaylorSmite10, and we will see you next time on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota.
Go Terps!